Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, some very powerful, important pieces of scripture. The writer of Hebrews has been presenting to those Hebrew or Jewish people about thinking of leaving the things of Christ because of persecution. Just the things that we talked about in Luke this morning. Enduring, trusting the Lord. He presented the theological or doctrinal presentation in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 through chapter 10 verse 18. The superiority of Jesus Christ over all religious systems. There is no religious system on the face of the earth, even the ones that God has designed for the Jews. There is no religious system that you can participate in that's going to produce salvation. None. Zero. Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins so that I could receive Him and be saved for free. It's a gift. He paid for that on the cross. And after He rose again and ascended up into heaven, He became my high priest in heaven. There are no ministers, there are no priests, there are no bishops here on the face of the earth that you can go to that's going to minister salvation to you. Jesus Christ, according to the writer of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is our apostle and He is our high priest. And right now He is in heaven, before the throne of God, interceding for you and me. Through Jesus Christ, I can come straight to the throne of God with my prayers and with my fellowship. It's not through a system. It's not through people. And there were those Jews who had been enlightened to the truth about Jesus Christ, but they started to suffer for it. We don't know what suffering is like. You can imagine if all of the state of California was Jewish. A Jewish state, a Jewish system, we all worshiped, we all celebrated the feast together, all the religious events together. And then one day somebody in the neighborhood decided to receive Jesus Christ as Messiah, Son of God, Lord and Savior. And the Jewish community would kick that person out. They would refuse to sell to them. The family members, your own family members, would hold a funeral for you because they would consider you to be dead. You'd lose your job because other Hebrew and Jewish people would give you your work. They'd let you go. You lose your family, you lose your job, you lose your community, you lose your country. You have to go somewhere where you have to live amongst the Gentiles and you're the only Jewish person. It's because your fellow Hebrew or Jewish people have rejected you because you've received Christ. Once they were enlightened to the truth about Christ, they still were not saved. God revealed to them the truth. And while they were in the process of being enlightened to the truth, they started to suffer. They went back home and found their possessions taken out of their home. And they were persecuted by other Jewish people. So they began to think, you know, this Christian thing is not worth it. I can go back into the religious system of Judaism and not have to suffer. I just be a religious person. But to identify with Jesus Christ is persecution. So in chapter 10, at verse 19, he began the encouragement to believers to live by faith. Everything from chapter 10, verse 19, to the end of the book is all about faith. In light of what Jesus has done for us, what does He expect of us? Trust Him. Live by faith. So he said, having such access into heaven, having a high priest that represents us, there should be three things that we should do. We should approach the throne of God in full assurance of faith. Not halfway. Not double-minded. Approach Him, trusting Him. Surrendering your life, your everything to Him. Trusting Him. Hold firm to the confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. He is your apostle and He is your high priest. And thirdly, consider the others, the other brethren. And that we should be encouraging each other to fellowship, because we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we should be encouraging each other even the more as we see that day approaching. And last week we saw, the writer of Hebrews says, because if we should reject Christ and stay sinning, there's no more sacrifice for your sins. There's no way for you to be saved. Even if you turn away from Jesus Christ and go to find some religious system that even believes in Jesus, but you don't need to receive Him and be saved, if you reject Christ personally, there's no way for you to be saved. There's no religious system that you can join and participate with to be saved. So he says, it's an awesome thing, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 32 for today. But call up into your remembrance the former days, in which after you had been enlightened, notice that, you endured much conflict of suffering. This on the one hand, while being made a public spectacle by reproaches, which literally means insults, and afflictions, lipsis means stress. But this on the other hand, having become participants of the ones who are living this way, that is, with reproaches and afflictions. For you received, you showed sympathy unto my chains, and you accepted with joy the seizure of your possessions, while knowing that you have in yourselves a better and abiding possession in heaven. Therefore, you should not cast off your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, in order that after having done the will of God, you may obtain the promise. For yet a very little time, and the coming one, that's a title, the one who is coming will come and will not delay. But the righteous one, or the just one, will live, notice this, from out of faith as a source. English text says by faith. It's literally ek, from out of faith as a source. And if anyone should draw back or withdraw, my soul is not well pleased in him. But we are not of those drawing back to the destruction. But we are those who are from faith to the preservation of the soul. Tremendous text. Again, we are encouraged. Come with full assurance of faith to the throne. Cling to and hold to your confession and consider one another and be encouraging to encourage one another that we need to fellowship together and not forsake fellowshipping together. It's where we get our encouragement and our ministry and our strength. And if you should withdraw and reject Christ, if you should remain in your sin and reject Christ, there's no more sacrifice for you. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So he mentions two things in our text for today. In verses 32 through 34, the former days, he brings to their minds the former days. Verses 35 through 39, he brings up faith, which is the introduction to chapter 11, the chapter on faith in the Bible. The former days, he says, verse 32, but call up into your remembrance the former days, in which, that is the former days, notice this, after you were enlightened, so they're not saved. They've been enlightened to the truth. After they were enlightened, they endured, hupomeno, they remained under, much conflict of suffering. The word conflict is the word athletic. Athlesis. So he says, after you became enlightened to the truth, you entered into the arena of conflict. Once God's Spirit has ministered the truth of Christ to your heart, even though you haven't received Christ yet, once he ministers that truth to you, you enter into conflict. Satan now tries to hassle you and hammer you to get you away from Christ. He does not want you to be saved. So he says, I'm just calling to your remembrance that in the former days, after you were enlightened, you endured much conflict of suffering. Here's how, verse 32. On the one hand, they were made a public spectacle. Out in public, people would insult them and create tremendous stress for them. Take away their jobs, kick them out of the home. On the other hand, the second thing is they had become partakers of those who live this way. That is, they live a life of being insulted and people causing stress for them because they belong to Christ or they're identified with Christ. These are people who are just identified. And as they started to suffer, they started withdrawing, falling back from the things of Christ. Here's an example of what they suffered in verse 34. For you showed sympathy. Interesting, in the scriptures, the word for sympathy is soon patheo. Soon means with, and patheo means to suffer. So the writer of Hebrews, whoever he was in chains, and he says, you sympathized with my chains. You came to visit me. You suffered the insult and you suffered the stress of identifying with my difficulty and hardship. You suffered with me. And you accepted with joy the seizure of your possessions while knowing that you have in yourselves a better an abiding possession in heaven. There came a time when you would come and visit those people who were imprisoned for Christ. And when you went back home, all of your possessions had been taken away. And you were publicly insulted. And people cause great stress for you because of your identification with Christ. So he's calling back to their former days. He said, look. Look what you suffered while you were being enlightened, because after you became enlightened, all of a sudden the suffering started coming in. The hardship started coming in. And now you're thinking of withdrawing. So then he tells them, beginning with faith in verse 35. Therefore, you should not cast off or throw off your confidence. You ever know of people that just quit? Just abandon everything about the Lord. Yeah, I tried that, you know. I tried it, it was fun, it was exciting at the beginning, but then I started experiencing difficulties and hardships in life. He says, therefore, I'm calling up these former days to you to encourage you to enter in by faith and live by faith, but you're thinking of withdrawing, so let me let you know what God thinks about this. Therefore, you should not cast off your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, in order that after having done the will of God, you might obtain the promise. I could go around this room and ask, what is your need today? What's your greatest need? Money? New car? Tylenol? What's your greatest need? Do you know the Bible says that there's only one need that we have? Once you've received Christ, there's only one need. You have need of endurance. The word for need, krea, has to do with necessity. You only have one necessity in life. Endurance, hupomeno, means to remain under. That's what he says. The problem is that you're suffering and you're starting to give in, you're starting to weaken. You're starting to consider, what else can I do to not identify with Christ? Because to identify with Christ means to suffer from other people who insult you and cause stress for you. And as you identify with other believers who are suffering, you have to suffer for that too. So don't cast off the confidence. Keep putting your confidence in the Lord. But what you really need is endurance. Hold your place and turn to the right to James chapter 1 for a moment. The first book to the right of Hebrews is the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are the diaspora. That's a title. Diaspora means scattered. The 12 tribes who have been scattered because of persecution, and they've been scattered outside of Jerusalem. He says, consider it all joy. The word consider is hegeomai, that means to govern. Let the governing thing of your mind be with all joy. Whenever you should fall into various trials, knowing, it's a participle, so I don't have joy in my trials as something I practice. It's because of something that I know. Knowing that your trial of the faith is working endurance, hupomeno. Now, let endurance have its complete work, in order that you may be complete and whole, not lacking in any one thing. When it says, let endurance have its completion, it means stick it out. Remain under the circumstance, trusting the Lord, and allowing that circumstance, God through it, to work out in your life that thing that He wants. Don't quit. Remain under. His grace is sufficient. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he prayed to be delivered from the thorn in his flesh, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for everything. Now let me give you a clue here as to the message of the Bible for a Christian. It is a message that the disciples had to learn in the Gospels when they traveled around with the Lord for 3 years before the Holy Spirit came. The Lord put them in circumstances that were designed, and this is for us too. God will always put us in circumstances that are designed for His ability. You put me as a human being in a circumstance and say, okay, in your own ability, make it through. Not when it's designed by God. The disciples spent 3 years struggling to do what Jesus told them to do, and they couldn't do it. And that's the message. John 15:5 is the message for 3 years with the disciples. Jesus said, without me, you cannot do one thing. Do you know how many years it takes us to learn that? The circumstances are designed for the sufficiency of His Spirit. But I spend my time trying to make it through with my self-sufficiency and my human reserve. And then I come back to God, hopefully sooner than later. I come back to God and say, God, I give up. I can't do it. And God says, that's right. For God's people, they are the only ones that have their circumstances designed for God's Spirit. And you already know by that the truth is, it's over our heads, beyond us. God wants to do great things. So He puts us in circumstances where we're totally inundated with insults and stress and hardship. As Jesus said in Luke 21 this morning, this will turn out for you for a testimony. Everything that the Lord puts us in is for two reasons. For us to learn to trust Him and to grow and learn how to trust Him. And for Him to be glorified. For people to see Christ in us. In all that we do. When I get so self-centered. You know, when your lower lip is dragging on the ground and you trip over it, you know. When our favorite song is, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Pray for me, brothers and sisters, because I'm sure I suffer and you don't know what that's like. But, you know, I'm suffering. James says, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because it's your trial of faith. And it's producing endurance. So stick it out and let endurance have its perfect purpose in your life. But then he goes on to say in verse 5, I've got to stick this in there. Every time I read this, I have to say this. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask from God, who gives to all liberally or freely. Some people just quote that verse just out of context and say, you know, if you want wisdom, just ask God. In context, the last part of verse 4 says, so that you are not lacking in any one thing. And then verse 5 says, if anybody lacks wisdom. How do you gain wisdom? By remaining under your circumstances and experiencing the faithfulness of the Lord to the point that your confidence in Him and your trust in Him grows and grows and grows. And then you will have wisdom. And wisdom is really sharing with another believer what it's like to trust the Lord and how faithful the Lord is. Do you realize how often we have to tell each other and remind each other how faithful the Lord is? I mean, that should be a no-brainer. It should be a given. But we know it in our head. But when we get out in the reality of life, it is so overwhelming. It's like a hurricane and we're in a boat with the Lord. The hurricane fills the boat with water and inundates us. Back to Hebrews 10. We have a need. You have a need of endurance. In order that after having done the will of God, you might obtain the promise. It's after we have done His will that we enter into the promise of salvation with Him. For yet in a little while, now he's going to quote Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Yet in a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. And the just, or the righteous one, shall live from out of faith. And if anybody withdraws or draws back, God says, my soul is not well pleased in him. The Lord is coming. He will not delay. In the meantime, the person who is righteous and who is just before God shall live from out of faith. That's the source of his life. To live in confidence and trust, no matter what we go through. And God says, if anybody withdraws, my soul is not well pleased with him. And then verse 39, the writer of Hebrews says, but we ourselves, we are not of those who withdraw to destruction. But we are those who live from out of faith unto the preservation of our soul. Notice that translation, preservation. King James says salvation. It's not the normal word for salvation. It's the Greek word that literally means to put a hedge around. Our soul is being preserved. There will come a time when Christ will come for us and we will be with Him forever. In the meantime, we live from out of faith, and that is the preserving of our souls. Coupled with what we learned this morning from Luke chapter 21 at verse 19, it's in endurance you possess your souls. Same thing. Again, Matthew 24:13, Jesus says, the ones who endure to the end shall be saved. That's not human effort. That's the fruit of the person who's saved. The more difficult the circumstances and the harder it is in life, the more the believer will learn to trust Him and our life will glorify Him. For a person who's just on the bandwagon, for a good feeling, or a happy time, or a nice program, when Satan strikes and attacks, to try to get them from following Christ, they'll leave. They'll just withdraw. And God even said way back in the Old Testament, there would be times in the last days when people would have to live by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are to live by faith and not by sight. 5:7, excuse me. We are those who live by faith, not by sight. It's not how we feel. It's not whether circumstances are good. In fact, Satan is going to create it so that all my circumstances and all my feelings are going to run in the opposite direction of faith. I'm going to have to trust God, trust the Lord, in spite of everything that's going on around me. In fact, in spite of my health, how I feel. If I'm rich, if I'm poor, I have a need to learn to remain under and trust Him and put my confidence in Him in spite of how my human evaluation is judging life. I'm getting to the point where I don't even like the words good and bad. Hey, you having a good day? You know, if I say I'm having a bad day, guess who I'm talking against? This is a day He has created for me. To the Lord, every day is a good day. Because every day is working out endurance. Every day He puts me in a circumstance so that I must trust Him. I'll fall apart if I don't. And the longer the road goes, and the more time it takes, the more we'll know Him more. We'll know what it's like to trust Him more. We will be able to endure more, experience Him even more because of the endurance. But what people are going to see in us, and even hear from us as they ask, is they're going to see somebody who can remain under and trust the sufficiency of Christ for their life. Why do you think Paul said in chapter 12, well, since that's the case, bring on the suffering. That's the only part in the Scripture when I get to heaven, I'm going to go to Paul and say, are you sure that was inspired? I trust it was. Why did you have to say, I take pleasure in my sufferings because when I am weak, then I am strong. Because that's the key to life. The tougher it is for me as a human being, the more I need to trust Him and the more He proves His sufficiency. See, He's the one that's on the spot, not me. He creates the circumstances He has to take me through. But He asked me to trust Him. To live from out of faith as a source. And to understand all of life is created because I need endurance. I need to learn how to trust Him. That's the road we're on. Next week we're going to begin Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter on faith. It's a parenthesis. He says, the just shall live by faith. Everybody else is going to withdraw. Now He's going to talk to us and share with us what faith is like. How to trust the Lord. And then when chapter 12 starts up, chapter 12 is actually picking up at the end of chapter 10. So chapter 11 is like a parenthesis, amplifying on the just shall live by faith. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Not just that You have left for us a message to trust You no matter what, but You've given us a living hope. Our high priest is in heaven. representing us to the Father, and yet you have sent your Spirit to live in our hearts, to minister your grace and your sufficiency, and to teach us to live by that sufficiency of yours. Lord, help us to see that our greatest need is to endure. We have need of endurance. We're weak. We don't like to go for long periods of time having to remain under the stress and the insults and the hardships. So we have a need to learn to endure. Lord, bless our hearts. Teach us these important truths, that life is created for God's Spirit, not for me. That I need to learn that circumstances in my life have been designed for your Spirit to take care of, not for me. It'll be too much. I'll be taking all the burden and weight of God upon my shoulders, and I can't do that. We all have a need of endurance. Teach us to live from out of faith, not by sight, not by feeling, not by human evaluation, but just trusting you by faith. And teach us what that is, what that is like, this road of faith, this life of faith. We pray that by your Spirit, you would take these things that we've studied this morning and minister them to our hearts and give us understanding, because this is what we need to know. This is what we need to understand. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.